Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman, as always, unless when he's not, and it's Zach Green, but it is TJ this week. We are trying to get through the season as best as we can. Indiana fell to Michigan on Saturday night, 29-7. Bowl eligibility is now off the table, unless I don't think any 5-win teams are going this year. So it is off the table. Indiana faces Rutgers on Saturday at noon. Thank God it's not another night game. At noon in Bloomington at Memorial Stadium. Rutgers has not scored a point against Indiana and Bloomington since 2015. So Indiana has that going for them, but we'll see. Another piece of news was the Minnesota game on November 20th is a 3:30 game, and it will also be televised on Big Ten Network. TJ, let's get a word from our sponsors first over at Symbol. We have a new sponsor that you guys are going to love, Symbol. It is the stock market for sports that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. On Symbol, you can trade sports teams like stocks, and every time your teams win, you earn cash. Use your sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your teams win. Join the 7,000-plus early adapters who have started to invest in their favorite teams. Visit www.simbull.com to create a free account. And when you deposit, make sure you use promo code SD to make your deposit risk-free. So that's visit symbull.com and use promo code SD and your deposit will be risk-free. That means even if you lose money, Symbull will refund your initial deposit. No question asked. Join Symbull and start investing and profiting from your favorite teams. So TJ, Indiana went up to Michigan as 20 and a half point underdogs. Lost 29-7. I think the score looked a lot better than the game actually was, thanks to some Michigan inefficiency in the red zone, settling for field goals and then a nice stop on a 2-point conversion by IU's defense. Much of the same thing. Indiana didn't break 200 yards of offense. They had, I believe, 53 yards of offense in the second half, 2 first downs in the second half. Tom Allen was seen getting in the face of Nick Sheridan on the sideline, which should make Indiana fans happy, since all of us have wanted to do that to Nick Sheridan all year and maybe longer. Some significant injuries coming out of this one as well as this is the season that just everybody's getting injured. Stephen Carr, starting running back, went out early with an ankle injury. He's to be determined going forward. So that leaves Indiana with one available scholarship back in David Holloman, as Trent Howland was suspended for 2 games prior to the game. Luke Haggard is supposed to practice Tuesday. He went out after 3 plays and couldn't come back in. He'll be reevaluated Tuesday and see where he's at. And then Jaron Handy along the defensive line, it sounds like he's going to be out for a while as well. So through the injury report, Indiana did not look, even though they just didn't look good at Michigan. It's more the same against top teams. Very little offense. Defense looks totally gassed. As well, TJ, what are your takeaways from the Michigan game?
I think it went about as expected. I thought the first half was probably maybe a little better than anticipated. Like you said, red zone inefficiency for Michigan, which has been a problem for them this season, and it kind of continued that way and kept them from really blowing the doors off. But overall, I thought the first half was somewhat positive, I guess, if you're really searching. There was one drive by the offense that offered a glimpse of promise. Very nice run from Donovan McCauley, where he showed some real burst and some strength as well to get away from a couple of tacklers and fight his way inside of the five. Chris Childers, a couple of plays later, punches it in for IU's lone score. And at that point, it was 10-7. And, there was a tad bit of momentum. Of course, that momentum lasted roughly two or three of game time. Michigan, Hassan Haskins breaks off a long run, and the Wolverines score, shortly after that. So that was the high point for IU. The second half, just completely toothless performance from the offense. They had absolutely nothing to trouble Michigan. And if you're looking for the areas to kind of say, well, if we can fix this area, then things will improve quite a bit. Unfortunately for IU's offense, I don't think it's that easy. I think you have to start up front. The offensive line, again, completely overwhelmed by Michigan's front. Michigan didn't even have to blitz all that much, and they were living in the backfield. Very difficult to evaluate what Donovan McCauley could be, because he's got no chance playing behind that line. None. He has no chance to set his feet, go through progressions, and make a play. Because every time he drops back, he's got to know, I've got 1, maybe 2 seconds before I'm getting hit and put on my backside. And that has to be an incredibly difficult way to try and make your debuts in college football. I'm sure he expected defenses to be faster than what he had in high school. That's obvious. I'm not sure if anybody within reason could perform really well behind that offensive line. And then further, I'm not sure what you want a quarterback to do with that receiver group, because we can't fault the guys that haven't gotten on the field, but the ones that have consistently gotten the snaps have been really underwhelming. And again, you can't just say, well, the receivers have been terrible, that's why the offense has stunk. That's why the offensive line has stunk. Exactly. It's all wrapped up. It's all connected. Football is very much a team game. You have to point the finger. You run out of fingers to point. I mean, you need like 5 hands to point all these fingers. But if you're Tom Allen looking for solutions, you have a lot more questions than you do answers. Because the receivers, let's go through the amount of catches that they've had in Big Ten games. This is not, this is not touchdowns. This is not explosive plays. This is receptions, period, for the wide receiver group in Big Ten games. Iowa, 7. Penn State, 8. Michigan State, 15. All right. That was probably Ty Freifogel's best game of the season, and it was not a good game. It was just not bad. 3 against Ohio State, 7 against Maryland, 2 receptions for wide receivers in the entire game. That averages out to 7 receptions per contest against conference opponents for the wide receivers. That's mind-boggling. Indiana does not play an option offense, and they don't run the ball 50 times a game. They just have a group that is incapable of getting separation, an offensive line that is incapable of providing protection on a consistent basis. And I think wide receivers that have failed to make hardly any contested catches this season. And I don't want to point the finger here at Malachi Holt-Bennett because he's gotten very little run, but I think it was an example. Indiana had a third down protection, and I think it was 17-7 still at this point, I believe. Could be wrong on that. Largely irrelevant. But a third down, McCauley had to scramble because pass protection, shockingly, broke down very quickly. He gets to the outside, is directing Malachi Holt-Bennett, had to make a decision whether or not he could run for the first down, which he probably wouldn't have gotten because the defender was keying in on him. So he throws, makes a very good throw, given, you know, he's rolling out on the move, makes a good throw. Michigan in tight coverage. It would have been a difficult catch. Holt-Bennett gets his hands on it, unable to make the play. IU punts it away. That was a perfect example. The offense was put into a bad position because of the offensive line. McCauley's still able to start to make a play out of it, and then they don't make the contested catch. And they have to punt, and the offense doesn't score any more points the rest of the game.
Yep. I think another play that stood out to me was late in the game. I think it was on a fourth down. They decided to go for it instead of kick a field goal, and they threw it down the sideline to Ty Freifogel. I didn't even make an effort.
He ran. He jogged. That's what he did. He just jogged.
Yeah. I mean, it's
– would he have caught that ball? I don't know. Probably not.
No, but if you make an effort, you might draw a flag. You know, he was invisible on Saturday, and he's been non-competitive in a lot of games this year in a lot of big spots. And I don't know if he came in injured, and if that's – look, if he's injured and that's the effort he's putting, you got to sit him on the bench. And even if he's not injured, if that's the effort, especially with you have Malachi Holt-Bennett, Jordan Williams, and Jacquez Smith on the bench, you got to use the bench. And I don't care if Grant Hurd is buddies with Freifogel's dad and things like that. Grant Hurd's job is going to be on the line too. And if he can't get these units to produce over the next three games, he's going to be on his way out of Bloomington. Even though his wide receiver group last year was very good, they have not even come close to meeting the low end of expectations for Indiana's receivers this year. You know, like you said, I think you pointed out earlier that they've had one receiving touchdown since Idaho. And that was probably a garbage touchdown at some point, maybe.
Well, I mean, we know for sure that they have not. I had that. Well, we don't need to get into specifics on that, I guess. Waste people's time looking it up. But I think if you have a group of wide receivers that can't get separation and have not produced.
It was DJ Matthews against Cincinnati. So, it's been forever. And it's time, you know, we said that they have depth. They do have depth. They have four-star guys on the bench. And it's time to see what you have next year. Because Freifogel's not coming back next year. And you got to see what you have in Jacoby Hewitt. You got to see what you have in Miles Marshall. And then you have to see what's in next group. And I think what you're seeing now, TJ, is something that Tom Allen has done a poor job of. And whether it's him, his offensive coaches, or things like that, the young guys who didn't get a chance to play in some of these blowout games the last couple years, going back to 2019, it's starting to bite them in the butt. You know, you didn't see Jack Tuttle play in blowout wins other than handing the ball off And when he comes in, they were scared to run the offense. You didn't see Donovan McCulley come in and blow out wins, you know, in the blowout win over Idaho because they were trying to preserve a redshirt. Well, those reps could have come in handy too. You didn't see a lot of the young receivers play in 2019 in some blowout wins. So all those reps and that development, sure, they have depth on paper, but you have to develop that depth too. And they just haven't done that well enough on the offensive side of the ball at the skill positions. Yeah, you could say that, you know, 90% of the running back room left. Okay. But they weren't. Samson James never got better. Ronnie Walker never really got better. Tim Baldwin never really got better. And things like that. So they have to start use this time wisely. Yeah, it's three games. There's probably going to be 15,000 people at the game on Saturday. All this stuff is for 2022 now, outside of the bucket game, because that's for this year. But you have to get these guys ready to go for next year. You have to try and figure out who's going to be back, who's going to hit the portal, and figure out what you have. Because I fully expect, outside of Dylan McCullough, an entire new offensive staff. And you need to get some guys on tape for another staff to come in. And you got to see if these guys can play under pressure against Big Ten teams. So, and yeah. It's now coming back to bite them again.
There's one guy that I think, outside of Dylan McCullough, that I think
Kevin probably,
Wright. Yeah, I feel like tight ends, when given opportunities, I think have done well enough.
Yeah, Kevin Wright is safe, in my opinion. I just keep forgetting about him because he's the tight ends coach. But
Hendershot continues to be the offense's best player and continues to be underutilized. And I feel like we say it every week. But it continues to happen, so we kind of have to keep bringing it up. He's the only guy that consistently makes good things happen on offense. He's it. I mean, none of the receivers have. I don't understand. I'm sure that right now, if you're, you know, the Rutgers defensive coordinator, your game plan probably starts with, okay, who's going to play quarterback, which I guess – we have to get into that here in a minute, but your second point is going to be, okay, let's get pressure and let's bring that against this offensive line and get penetration. And then third on that list is probably, you know, how do we remove Peyton Hendershot? Because other than that, who are we worried about? And Indiana, in my opinion, has done a very poor job of leveraging Peyton Hendershot as the weapon that he's shown he can be.
Yeah.
It's been frustrating for him. That was evident on Saturday night.
Yeah, I don't know if you could see it on the TV broadcast. I tried to look it up, but
yeah, you could. Yep.
So from the press box, you could see it clearly, and it was there was a minute and 13 seconds left. They had just had a 7-yard run on first down, and basically IU shut it down from there. And he was demonstrative, yelling at the coaches, waving his arms around. I don't know what he said because you're a mile away and he's facing the other way. Sure. And I mean, don't have X-ray Superman vision. It showed his frustration of, hey, let's throw it deep. I asked Allen about it after the game. He said it was basically, we have a young quarterback. We don't want to make any mistakes and give Michigan the ball back there, which is whoever the announcer was Joel Klatt said that on TV. You don't give Michigan the ball back. You take the 17-7 deficit into halftime. But what does Indiana have to lose is my point. You have a young quarterback who needs some reps in a 2-minute offense. And either you have no faith in your offensive line, which is fine. Like, it's not fine, but it's understandable that you have no faith in this offensive line and not getting him killed, McCulley killed and things like that. But why not throw something deep on second and three? You know, Michigan's not going to call timeout. And if they do, you punt the ball back. You run it on third down, and you punt the ball back, and you try and stop. So that's what I don't get. It was the lack of aggressiveness there. And look, maybe a miracle happens, and you score, you know, you get into scoring range and make it a one-score game. And then, you know, people saw clearly on TV after a third down draw at the end of the third quarter, he just lit into Sheridan. And it wasn't a very long conversation, but it was an angry one. Even though after the game, he said it was more about the botched snap on a third down that ended a drive. It was clear that that happened twice then. Because he, after the draw, he glared and said something to Sheridan that wasn't very friendly. So it's, I think his frustration, Allen's frustration with the offense is boiled over too, which could be a good sign for Indiana fans. If you're looking for a change to be made, before we close the book on Michigan, TJ, any final thoughts on that?
Not on the offensive side of the ball, although I do think we have to acknowledge it is incredibly difficult to execute any offensive game plan when you are dealing with the level of injury attrition IU's had. You can say that's an excuse. Okay, fine. Then I'm an apologist. Okay, fine. I think it has to be acknowledged. The amount of injury attrition that has occurred to the offense would have a noticeable impact on just about any team in the country. I think it's very possible the offense would have been, you know, almost as bad as it is right now, even without those injuries, which is why I do think changes are required. But it's also objective and fair to point out that, man, when you're scraping the bottom of the barrel at running back, and you're playing a quarterback that entered, you know, this season, if Dexter Williams is healthy, he's fourth string. There's just no two ways about it. They were not planning on Donovan McCauley having a sizable role this season. And, you know, it's kind of a season where if something wrong could happen, it's found a way to happen. So I think it has to be acknowledged while also, you know, looking past those things and saying, okay, outside of the injuries, what have we as coaches done that have helped, you know, work around those injuries? What have we as an offensive staff done that have set the players we do have up for success? And there are not really any good answers for those questions. It has gotten back to the point from me just as a fan watching the games where when IU gets the ball, I do not feel like there's any way they're going to drive down the field and score. Just no confidence whatsoever that something good is going to happen on that side of the ball. And I don't recall having those feelings since prior, I would say going back to probably Xander Diamant at quarterback. And this offense is significantly worse than that one.
Yeah, I try to compare this team to IU teams of the past. To me, it's very similar to the 2008 team. When Kellen Lewis came back, he got hurt and then ultimately dismissed from the team. And Ben Chappell took over. Now, Chappell ended up being a good quarterback in the end, but that was a team that had, you know, high expectations, probably should have gone, you know, could have gone to a bowl game if things worked out the way they should have. But they lost to a similar group of five team loss to you know, undefeated Ball State. Now, Cincinnati's much better than Ball State. But man, you're right. The injuries do take a toll, and you know, it's not an excuse, but it's a reason why things happen. And at the end of the year, I'm going to write an article on, you know, what led to this, and this could be 5-7, or it could be 2-10. And injuries are definitely a factor on that. But for a team, you know, and anytime you know, you talk about that, the bigger teams, they're going to be impacted a little bit too. But at some point, you also have to develop your depth. And I think all that, what I said before, has come back to bite them. But let's get to Rutgers, TJ. But before we get to Rutgers, we have another word from our sponsors over at Symbol. Symbol is a sports stock market that allows you to profit off of your sports knowledge. There are two ways to make money on Symbol. First, every time a team you own wins, you earn a cash win payout. Second, just like the stock market, if you think a team is going to increase in value, you could buy low and sell high for a profit. Use promo code SD to make your first deposit risk-free. That means even if you lose your money or just decide the market isn't for you, Symbol will refund your initial deposit, no questions asked. So TJ, Rutgers is coming in at 4-5 with one Big Ten win, which was over Illinois. I believe it was 20-14 a couple weeks ago. They got off to a hot start, have stumbled. They lost 52-3 last week to Wisconsin at home. What are your initial thoughts on Rutgers? IU, I think, opened as an 8-point favorite. I saw it on ESPN as a 6.5-point favorite. Now today, what's your first thoughts on this game against Rutgers, and can IU get its first Big Ten win of the season?
Definitely can. This is unfortunately looks like the matchup of possibly the two worst teams in the conference. I think Northwestern would potentially like a word as well, but. I think that looking at the line, I don't know how you have Indiana as a favorite against anybody in the conference right now based on what IU's offense has done. But, you know, you have to just look at who they're playing, and Rutgers has really gotten the tar beat out of them a few times here recently. They are a team that I think has disappointed their fan base as well. They're 4-5 right now, but some of the performances here recently are well below what I'm sure Greg Schiano expects and what the Rutgers fans thought they were going to be getting this year. Just last week against Wisconsin, who, you know, don't look now, but Wisconsin is starting to play really, really well. The Badgers 579-207 in terms of yards. Running it on Wisconsin, or on Rutgers for 305, but also throwing it for 274. Graham Mertz had a big day, which is something that has not been said very often at all. 11 completions for 240 yards. So lots of explosive plays in the passing game, which is something that IU just flat out has not had this season. So if there's a chance to actually get right, as an offense, or at least have one day to feel good about yourself, this might be the day to do that. It's a secondary that has had some injuries, and they have underperformed based on what we thought they were going to be coming in. On the other side of the ball, Noah Bedrill, who IU did play both with Nebraska and with Rutgers, he got hurt last week, left the game, I believe it was in the third quarter, with what appeared to be a head injury after a hard hit. Greg Schiano did say on Saturday that he felt like Vedral would progress throughout the week and be available Saturday, but he couldn't be sure. So it's possible he can't go. He struggled with turnovers, and they've not been particularly explosive on offense. They are now without they are now without Aaron Cruikshank, who is probably their most explosive wide receiver. Bo Melton remains their best wideout. He's got 43 catches on the year, 3 touchdowns. Not a particularly dangerous group, though. Running back, a pretty good player, Isaiah Pacheco. He's struggled, though, because their offensive line, much like IU's, has really had a hard time generating much of anything for their offense. They've had a hard time with protection, had a hard time opening up holes for their running backs. On the season, they're averaging 3.49 yards a carry. Not an explosive offense. I think the right play for this game is definitely the under. I'm not sure what it's going to be set at, what the total will be set at, but I don't see either offense having much success. I do think that Indiana will need for their defense to create some takeaways, which just has not happened this year. That's another reason you have to look at for some offensive struggles. The defense has been unable to take the ball away and set them up in advantageous field position very often at all. And that's hurt things, because if you don't get those short fields occasionally, and you're constantly, as an offense, having to go 60, 70, 80 yards for touchdowns, even with a good offense, you're going to have some games where that's a difficult thing to do. And when you have a bad offense like IU's, and you don't get those takeaways from your defense, you're really put in a hole. So I think the IU defense has to force some takeaways against the Rutgers team that will turn it over. So the Hoosiers, I think, need to do that. And then the offense has to capitalize. Anytime you get in the red zone in this game, both teams are going to feel like they need to score touchdowns, because their offenses have really struggled against conference competition.
Yeah, and IU's defensive coordinator Charlton Warren said something interesting today about why there's been a lack of turnovers and takeaways. They've been playing more man defense this year as opposed to last year when they played more zone. And in a zone defense, your eyes are on the ball a lot more in terms of that. In terms of playing defense than you are in man, when you're focused on your man in defense. So, you know, that could be one of the reasons why I'd like to see him go back to the zone a little bit more and things like that. They do have to create takeaways, because that's why they were successful last year and why they were able to put up points against some of these teams that they're not able to put up points against this year. You know, getting the ball back in good field position and things like that are going to help, especially when special teams hasn't been a huge factor in the return game and things like that. So I don't know if you're going to see a wholesale change to zone this year, but maybe that's something in the off season they could tweak and play more of the style of play that Kane Womack had last year than Charlton Warren. And I think Warren's done an adequate job this year. The defense early on was a strength of this team. Injuries added up. Anytime you're missing your 3 or 4 top defensive backs in the secondary, it's going to be a factor. I also think this defense is exhausted. They were on the field a lot earlier in the season. They didn't play very many people as well and things like that. So, yeah, there are a lot of factors that are going into Indiana's defensive side. Plus, they're playing teams who are just a little bit more athletic and better on offense. Ohio State's a very good offense. Maryland has some really good athletes on offense. Michigan, Hassan Haskins is a heck of a running back. Cade McNamara can sling it and things like that. So, yeah, the defense hasn't been performing as well, but they've also been playing offenses who are a little bit more explosive. And when you're down an All-American at corner and an All-Big Ten at corner and another guy who has started at corner for you and played pretty well, it's tough sledding. And this is the injuries wiped out this year on defense too. It's been a frustrating year. TJ, what is your – let's just go straight into predictions. What's your prediction for Saturday?
That's a great idea. I mean, the keys to the game on this one are hard to identify, because it just feels like there's basically nothing that IU's doing particularly well. So you could point to everything as a key and just say, hey, do all of that better and maybe you'll have a shot at actually winning a conference game. Prediction, look, I am struggling to find any confidence in actually thinking IU is going to win a game, because Rutgers, they actually have beaten some teams that have a pulse this year. I mean, they beat Illinois, which is more than anything IU has accomplished on the field this year. That being said, I think the team is still playing hard for the most part. There do appear to be a few exceptions, but I think for the most part, these guys are still playing hard. Donovan McCauley, he was busting his tail, attempting to get yardage on those draw plays where he's just getting the crap beat out of him by a big physical defense, and he still kept plugging it in there, trying to get yardage. The walk-on running backs, they were doing what they could. Peyton Hendershot is still doing what he can. The defense, as depleted as they are in the secondary, they're still playing. Micah McFadden, bless him, is still fun and exciting to watch, and I really hope they get a win at home for him and for Cam Jones, those senior linebackers. So I am going to perhaps pick a little bit with my heart over my head, but look, it's not like Rutgers is some great opponent that IU has to rise up and beat. I just think IU has to play a clean game, force one or two takeaways on defense, and find a way to get a few explosive plays on offense. I think that'll do it. I'm going to take Indiana to win this game 17-13. It's going to be ugly. I don't think it's going to be particularly entertaining, but I do think IU gets the first conference victory of the year.
Yeah, well, I joked with you when the line came out at IU minus 8 or 8.5, whatever it was. So can IU even score 8 points? I think they kind of get off the schneid this week. We'll see who's healthy. But Peyton Hendershot will be the best player on the field when IU's on offense, and they have to be able to get him the ball. And if they sprinkle in some of these younger guys, maybe get Miles Marshall, Ty Freifogel, and Jacoby Hewitt going and things like that. I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game. Rutgers defense, although last week they did give up 52 points to Wisconsin, that was a season high for the Badgers. I think it's going to be a grinded out game. And things like that. I like your 17-13 pick. I'm going to take IU 21, Rutgers at 17. Indiana gets their first Big Ten win of the year. Maybe they could, gain some momentum and some confidence and end the season on a high note. You just can't end the season at 2-10. And getting a conference win against Rutgers will take you out of the basement of the Big Ten East, probably, as Rutgers has Penn State and Maryland left to play. So a win here keeps you out of the basement, which for those of you who are concerned with that, is a big deal. For those of you who aren't, it keeps you out of the ofer in the win column. So that does it for today's show. TJ, thanks for joining us. We'll be back here next Monday to talk, hopefully, finally, after a month and a half, talking about an IU win. Oh, geez, it's been more than a month and a half. It's been since September, an IU win and things like that. Keep with us for all your Indiana football news. We appreciate you guys reading and listening and things like that. So keep going to HoosierHuddle.com. Give us a follow on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. TJ, appreciate your time. Have a great Monday evening, and enjoy another week of college football.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We do appreciate it.
We do. We could pull out the old major league line. Nobody's listening anyway. But hopefully that's not the case, and we've got people listening. We'll be back next week, and then we'll have you covered all offseason for what should be a busy offseason for Indiana football. Again, Indiana kicks off against Rutgers at home on Saturday at noon Eastern. The game will be televised on Big Ten Network. Thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. And we appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.